a note of what the Bible reveals concerning the date of our Lord's death. The day on which our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified must ever remain the most solemn and important in the whole history of the universe. No Christian would wish to dispute this fact, because all know that, apart from our Lord's one perfect atoning sacrifice for sin, accomplished on the cross of Calvary, there would be no redemption for sinners, and we should all be still under the guilt and power of sin, like those who do not believe with their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. See Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It is, therefore, a matter of the first importance that all believers in Christ should know exactly what is revealed in the Bible concerning the date of Friday the 1st of May, AD 33, which was the day in our calendar when our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, was crucified by the Roman authorities at the instigation of the religious rulers of the Jews. First, let us recall that on the 1st of January, 45 BC, Julius Caesar inaugurated a solar calendar only slightly different to our present Gregorian calendar, and that throughout our Lord's life, the whole civilized earth was using this calendar, in which the months in length and in name were identical with our own. See the summary of facts, paragraph 20. To the Romans, the 1st of May was the calends of May. The year date, AD 33, was of course unknown to the Romans, who reckoned time by a series of years, which started with the foundation of Rome in the 8th century BC. The excellent BC-AD system of reckoning years was originated by an abbot, Dionysius Exiguus, in the 6th century after Christ, but it was not generally adopted until some time later. The dates of our Lord's death and resurrection have an immense biblical significance because in the apostolic era, the church, which as we shall later show from the Bible, kept the Lord's Supper, the resurrection and Pentecost on the solar anniversaries of these events in AD 33. As we have stated previously, the calendar which appeared on the surface of Holy Scripture is that given by God to the nation of Israel, the Old Testament from Genesis 12 being, in one aspect, a history of that people. For particulars of this calendar, we need only refer readers to the early paragraphs of the summary of facts at the beginning of this treatise. It will be seen from the chart of the five calendars in operation during our Lord's life that the date of Friday the 1st of May, AD 33, was the 14th day of the first month, a Friday, or the 6th day with the Jews' calendar, and the 15th day of the first month, a Sabbath, in the divine calendar. We learn from John 19, verse 14, that to the Jews that day was the preparation of the Passover. It opened at 6 a.m. and ended at 6 p.m. when the Passover was killed and eaten. Mark's Gospel informs us that the day on which our Lord died was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Chapter 15, verse 42. And note, the Greek word for Sabbath is pro-sabbaton. Therefore, in two aspects, this 1st of May was to the Jews a day of preparation. That the day was a Friday in the Jews' calendar is also proved by the above quotation from Mark. Luke's Gospel also states that our Lord Jesus Christ died on a Friday, as may be learned from the following quotation in Luke 23, verse 54. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. John's Gospel bears similar testimony, which is as follows, in chapter 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high, or literally great day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Matthew's Gospel likewise names the day of the Lord's death as the day of preparation, chapter 27, verse 62. Nothing, therefore, is more clear in the whole Bible than that the Saviour of the world laid down his sinless life on the day before the Jewish Sabbath, the sixth day of the week, which we call Friday. Furthermore, as we have seen, the Bible states that that Friday was both the day of the preparation for the Jews' weekly Sabbath and the Jews' Passover. It will be advisable to mention before passing on that there are some sincere scholars who, in their great zeal to solve the problem of time in relation to our Lord's death and resurrection, have supposed his death to have taken place on Wednesday or Thursday. They arrive at this unfortunate conclusion by assuming that the Sabbath mentioned by Mark, Luke, and John were not the weekly Sabbath or seventh day, but an extra Sabbath on account of it being the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the 15th day of the first month. To do this is a grave transgression, because the Bible, with the utmost precision, refuses to call the first day of Unleavened Bread a Sabbath, but does call it a holy convocation, and this verily in order to distinguish it from a Sabbath, a term only applied to the distinctively Jewish feasts, whether holy convocation or not, of the seventh month, namely Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Ingathering. And please confirm this by reference to Leviticus 23, and compare verses 6 to 8 with verses 24, 32, and 39. On a holy convocation, an Israelite could do no servile work. On a Sabbath, except for the Feast of Trumpets, he could do no work at all. Furthermore, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Pentecost have found their antitypes in the Christian Church, which takes no account whatsoever of the Sabbath or seventh day. The statement in John 19:31, which reads, "That Sabbath day was an high day," simply directs attention to the fact that the Jewish weekly Sabbath in question was also an holy convocation, because it was the first day of unleavened bread. This constituted it a high day, and formed an additional reason to the Jews for removing our Lord's body and those of the forgiven and unforgiven malefactors from their respective crosses. In accepting that our Lord Jesus Christ died on a Friday, according to the calendar of Israel and of the Roman earth, the churches of Christendom have, therefore, acted in strict accordance with what, on the surface of the Gospels, asserts with such unmistakable clearness. This, however, is only part of the truth, and by no means the most important part. In fact, the whole problem of time in relation to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes utterly insoluble if he is viewed as dying on a Friday. The reason for this will be seen with vivid clearness when we have set forth all that the Bible reveals beneath the surface concerning this deeply mysterious problem, which for 1800 years has baffled every effort to find a solution, which did not, in some sort, do violence to the text of Holy Scripture. We cannot develop this aspect further until we have reached the point in our narrative when it is necessary to reveal from the Bible the time at which our Lord Jesus Christ came forth in triumph from the grave. At the moment, we are engaged in showing what the Bible reveals as to the date of his death and of the impossibility of correctly discerning this by means of Israel's calendar, with which it has no direct connection whatsoever. According to Israel's calendar, our Lord died at 3 p.m. on Friday, the 14th day of Nisan, the day of the preparation for the Passover, and viewed in this light, his death would have no biblical significance of any kind whatsoever, since there were no typical sacrifices offered on that day of which his death on account of sin could form an antitype. This brings us back to what we affirm at the end of part 4 in our last chapter, namely that it is impossible to suppose that God could measure time in relation to his well-beloved Son other than by means of the divine calendar, which, let it be remembered, records true time. As we stated in paragraphs 13 and 14 of the Summary of Facts, the divine calendar runs concurrently with the calendar of Israel, except that in it the days of the month and the days of the week were, until the cross, one day ahead of those in Israel's calendar. Consequently, our Lord and his disciples took the Passover in the evening before his death, because it was the true 14th day of the first moon, or the first month, while the Jews took their Passover on the evening after his death, because it was the 14th day of the first month in their calendar. Likewise, as in Israel's calendar, the day of our Lord's death was a Friday, and we know that in the divine calendar, it must have been the Sabbath. Let it therefore be clearly understood from this point that in reckoning time in relation to our Lord's death and resurrection, the Bible views him as dying on the Holy Sabbath. This is the first great fact to be laid hold of by anyone who would understand what the Scriptures reveal on this subject. Before proceeding further, it will be well to draw attention to the fact that, because of its immense importance, the Bible affords prima facie evidence that God reckons time in relation to the death and resurrection of Christ solely according to the divine calendar. In relation to the days of the month, this is proved, as we have just shown, in that our Lord kept the last Passover with his disciples on the evening before the Jews kept their Passover. It must be obvious to all that our Lord kept this on the true 14th day of the first month, according to the law. This affords undeniable evidence that the divine calendar was one day of the month ahead of the calendar of Israel. In relation to the days of the week, as we are about to show, Matthew in his Gospel actually names the Sabbath as the day of our Lord's death, while Mark, Luke and John all name the day of his death as the day before the Sabbath, the day which we call Friday. Both, of course, are absolutely correct. But Matthew employs the divine calendar, while the other three evangelists employ that of Israel, which is one day of the week behind the divine calendar. And now Matthew presents our Lord as dying on the Sabbath. The fact that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the Sabbath, the divine time, is openly stated in Matthew's Gospel. But before this can be understood, it is necessary to realise that the Holy Spirit designated that this evangelist should exclusively employ the divine calendar in recording the time factors of our Lord's death and resurrection. On the other hand, Mark, Luke, and John each employ Israel's calendar in all their time references to our Lord's death, though they are compelled to use the divine calendar when naming the time of the resurrection. To anyone who does not know of Matthew's use of the divine calendar, many of his statements as to time must appear to be absolutely incomprehensible. For this reason, critics of the Bible have not been slow to light on some of these, and in their ignorance to speak of them in scathing terms. At the moment, we only draw attention to part of the verse which shows that according to Matthew, our Lord died on a Sabbath. In Matthew 28, we read, "In the end of the Sabbath came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." Note, we omit in this verse reference to the first day of the week because it has to do with the resurrection and is inexplicable apart from the knowledge of certain other facts which we will disclose in due course. This statement by Matthew concerning the visit of the two Marys to the sepulchre in the end of the Sabbath is in perfect accord with similar statements by Mark and Luke, both of whom make it clear that this took place at the end of the day of our Lord's death. Mark in chapter 15 verse 47 states, "And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid." Luke in chapter 23 verse 55 states, "And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid." Matthew, Mark, and Luke in these statements all draw attention to the fact that at the close of the day of our Lord's death and following his burial in the rock-hewn sepulchre, certain women, including Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, approach the sepulchre in order to note, for the purpose of embalming, how and where the body of their crucified Lord was laid. Matthew, because he is caused to employ divine time, states that this took place in the end of the Sabbath, whereas Mark and Luke, who adopt Israel's calendar, state that it occurred at the end of Friday, which was the day of the preparation for the Jews' Sabbath. See Mark 15:42 and Luke 23, verse 54. Both statements are absolutely true, and both refer to the day of our Lord's death, which to God was the holy Sabbath, but which to the Jews was their sixth day, which we call Friday. It will appear perfectly manifest to all in due course that our Lord Jesus Christ had to die on a Sabbath in fulfilment of the Levitical type of the sheaf of the first fruits, which had to be presented before the Lord on the morrow after the Sabbath. Before passing on, we must call attention to the fact that the majority of students who realise that our Lord's death took place in the year AD 33, have given the date of Friday the 3rd of April, because they assume that it was the 14th day of Nisan in the Jews' calendar. In our former treatise, we set forth an exact reproduction of time in the Bible from creation, which is astronomically accurate to an hour. We show that the Bible reveals, in a manner which no one could possibly refute, that the date of the exodus of Israel from Egypt was the 12th of May, 1639 BC, and that this day was the 15th day of the first month, which was then called Abib in Israel's calendar, and therefore was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that it was also the 15th day of the seventh month in the years of the Messiah. Facts which in themselves afford independent proof of the correctness of this date, which otherwise could never have been marked with this dual significance. And see reference to this in chapter 1 under the heading The Date of the Nativity and the Years of the Messiah. This being so, it would be impossible for any first month of the sabbatical series of years, which was instituted at the Exodus, to start before the 29th of March. The new moon of the first month at the Exodus was the 28th of April, and any 12th month which ended before the 29th of March would be followed by an intercalary month of 30 days, in order that the start of the new year might be delayed until the spring season, which was the main objective of the new calendar which God gave to Moses before the Exodus. See Exodus 12, verse 1 and 2. There can be no possible doubt that the first day of Nisan in AD 33 in the Jews' calendar was on the 18th of April, and that the 14th day of Nisan was on the 1st of May. In an article on month, in Smith's Dictionary of the Bible, the writer states, "At present, Nisan answers to March, but in early times it coincided with April." This fact we have proved from the Bible. This is the sum of what we have thus far set forth concerning the day of our Lord's death. This was called in the Roman calendar the calends of May, that is the 1st of May, in AD 33. In the Jews' calendar, it was the 6th day of the week, that is Friday, Nisan the 14th, AD 33. And in the divine calendar, it was the Sabbath, Nisan the 15th, AD 33. And finally, why the day of our Lord's death had to be on the 15th day of Nisan, the first month. Read Numbers 28, 16 to 23. We have already pointed out that the 14th of Nisan, the first month, which was the date in Israel's calendar when our Lord was put to death, had no significance, because it contained no offering of any kind, which were typical of his sacrifice on account of sin. Search as you will, you will be unable to locate in the whole Levitical economy a single sacrifice for sin or trespass appointed for the 14th day of the first month. This fact should at once satisfy every inquirer who does not yet appreciate why God refuses to reckon time in relation to the death of his Son according to the calendar of Israel. It was because the 14th day of Nisan had no appointed sacrifices, except the morning and evening burnt offering, which typify Christ as man rendering his whole duty to God, and which, therefore, have no element in them related to sin, sins, or trespass. When, however, we consider the sacrificial element of the next day, namely the 15th day of the first month, which is the first day of unleavened bread, we find it to be a day saturated with sacrifices. It opened with the sacrifices of the Passover at 6 p.m. And on the following morning, the law commanded that there should be the presentation of special burnt offerings with their meat offerings, together with a sin offering. Each of these offerings form a separate and typical aspect of the one sacrifice offered by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, on the 15th day of the first month in the year A.D. 33. In Numbers 28, verse 16, we read, "And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord." In Exodus 12, verse 6, and in other scriptures, we are told that the Passover was to be killed in the evening. According to the Hebrew, this should have been translated "between the evenings," an expression which refers to a point of time between the last 3 hours of the 14th day of the first month, namely 3 to 6 p.m., and the first 3 hours of the 15th day of the first month, namely 6 to 9 p.m. This, in practice, meant that the Passover was to be killed at or about 6 p.m., which was the opening of the 15th day of Nisan, or Abib, as this month was called, before the Babylonian captivity. Then in Numbers 28, verse 17, we read, "In the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten." In previous pages, we have shown that the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread form one of the most enlightening types of the Christian dispensation in the whole Bible. No wonder the Apostle Paul declares to the Christians at Corinth, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." 1 Corinthians 5, 6-8. It matters not whether it is the Passover at 6 p.m., the opening hour of the 15th day of Nisan, or the burnt offering with the meat offering and the sin offering on the following morning, as commanded by the Lord to Moses and recorded by him in Numbers 28. All are typical of the one sacrifice offered by our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, on God's holy Sabbath, the 15th day of Nisan, our 1st of May in A.D. 33. This was the first day of the anti-typical feast of unleavened bread, namely the Christian dispensation, or day of grace to all mankind. No one, therefore, could get a glimmer of biblical understanding of our Lord's sacrifice on Calvary on the 1st of May, A.D. 33, without the help of this passage in Numbers 28, in which the typical sacrifices of the 15th day of the first month, the day in the divine calendar on which our Lord was crucified, are set forth. We need add nothing further as to the day and date of the death of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. All will know as we proceed that in the sight of God, who ordained every detail as to its time and place, the Saviour of men died on the 15th day of the first month, or moon, a Sabbath, in the 34th year of his life, the year being, in our reckoning, A.D. 33.